The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The establishment of an offshore wind farm has drawn protests from local residents and business owners in Wicklow. Locals are astonished by SSE Renewables' plans for 56 wind turbines on the coast that could lead to beach erosion across the East Coast Bay. Now, joining me now is a member of the South East Coastal Protection Alliance, Olivia Cafola, and we're joined on the line by environmental journalist John Gibbons. But first of all, Olivia, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Now, tell us about SSE's plans. What are they proposing to do?
So I'm here today to advocate for really meaningful public input and participation into what is a public consultation process that began on the 6th of June when they submitted a planning application to Onboard Pranola to build up to 56 supersized turbines, each the size of the Eiffel Tower, with three blades, which would equate the size each of the Dublin Spire. So it's an enormous project. It's a massive industrialisation, and it has we want it to be a success. But the problem is that the plan is fundamentally flawed. It's okay. Too big and too close to shore.
Now, when you say it's too big, the question is this standard now, this size of windmill off the coast of Denmark, off the coast of Scotland? Is this what they're doing now for maximum efficiency?
Yes. I mean, this a 300-metre, 287-metre turbine would be the standard across Netherlands, Belgium, Denmark, even off beyond in Hornsey off Hull in England.
So but that's these, what's going to be built.
Yes,
there's no doubt about
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, because that's where the technology is and that's where we're going to. We want to bring renewable energy into Ireland through offshore wind. But the problem is that with this particular plan is that its location is an unsuitable location. Most wind farms are placed at least 30, 40 kilometres out to sea. And in that way, they minimise the damage they can cause to coastal communities. And our concerns are simply that this plan is the opposite of being progressive. I mean, renewable energy is meant to be progress, but it's a bit short-sighted in that it doesn't seem to be designed for the Irish people. It's now, as if it was going
to risk. I've forgotten my geography in terms of what is the width of the Irish Sea at that point. But if you want to push it further out, are you pushing it too close to the coast of Wales for the people of Wales?
No, we're simply asking for it to go beyond the foreshore. The foreshore, in nautical terms, is 12 nautical miles from the sand out to sea. And that is the most fertile part of our waters. It's shallow water. It's where you get sunlight. And it's the spawning grounds for numerous species of crustaceans, of fish, sea mammals, and birds all feed off it. And in this particular location of Arklow, there is a sandbank that stretches 27 kilometres long from Wicklow Head down to Kilmichael Point. And this sandbank is around 2.5 kilometres wide at some points, but it's very, very close to the surface of the sea. So when you go out to it, and as we have last summer, our committee members went out to view the turbines that are currently there, the seven turbines that existed for the last 20 years, you're only talking about a metre or so, you know, below the surface of the sea where you can see the turbines. And so this sandbank is a very, it's an easy location for a wind farm to
build. But isn't that the point? They're building because there is a sandbank there. The waters are shallow, technically much less difficult to build there than build further.
Yes, yes. But in doing so, there is evidence to demonstrate that building on a sandbank damages the sandbank. And a sandbank has a fundamental role in protecting the coastline from storm erosion, from storm tides and from flooding. And this particular sandbank acts as, it's in the document of the EIA or the Environmental Impact Assessment within that SSE Renewables have submitted, it is a natural breakwater. And so what they would need to do to build this massive ambitious plan would be to pour in by 2.6 million tonnes of solid matter in and around the sandbank, which would effectively compromise its morphology, compromise its integrity and its ability to be a barrier and a buffer to storm erosion. So the beaches then that grace this Wicklow-Wexford coastline, of which there are 11 from Silver Strand down to British Bay where we're based and then all the way down to Kilgorman, they would effectively disappear because this sandbank replenishes the sand on those sandy beaches and the sand dune systems, which are all moving parts. They're all part of a really complex marine ecosystem. And a bit like what Rachel Carson years ago said, you know, any human interference with nature has a consequence.
Sure. I mean, whenever they do those kind of marine works, whether it's deepening a harbour or whether it's building a harbour wall,
yes,
there are impacts.
There are consequences.
Yeah.
And we feel that the consequences, the negative impacts of this particular plan, are not fully understood by the public at large. We have embarked on a PR campaign in the last couple of weeks, certainly since the official application went in on the 6th of June. And we feel that 9 weeks is not enough for the public to understand the magnitude of this project and the impact it could have.
Now, are those impacts really knowable or foreseeable? Because sometimes you think something is going to happen and it turns out, I met someone at the Skipper's Expo last year who was saying that sometimes marine life around these things actually is more magnificent than it was before.
Yes.
You know, because there are places for the spawning to occur and for other creatures to hide, for example, from their predators.
Yes.
So can you actually be sure what's going to happen? Maybe sand will build up even more when there are turbines there with all this solid matter.
Well, we believe you can be sure, but we're not sure because the EIA report that has submitted was commissioned or was purchased by the developer. And we believe this environmental impact assessment should be done independently. It needs to be a thorough, transparent report that has third-party oversight because a developer has a vested interest for a positive outcome.
I've seen it in the planning process where developers will employ some sort of an expert who will, sing to their tune. Who's paying the bill?
Yes.
And that's what I'm not suggesting that this is the case, but the suspicion is always there that you get two experts in any court case, for example, yeah, and they testify each that black is white or white is black, and yet they're two acknowledged experts. So guns for hire can actually give you the result that you want.
To that point, within this particular EIA report, and we're a group of local residents, we have engaged with an environmental consultant and we've also contacted the University of Plymouth to get expert view on what we believe, what this plan is. And we have every right, and as does the public, to question the integrity of this environmental impact statement. And we feel that we have the right to push back the cost to the developer to put the wind farm simply further to sea, because there is evidence that the magnitude of work that's required in the construction of this wind farm, 6 kilometres from the Wicklow-Wexford coastline, can only really have a detrimental effect.
Yeah.
And in the plans, there's a massive amount of variability, because they even say that the impact could go range from moderate to major. So their range is quite enormous. So how can you possibly prove something?
Are you also, besides the erosion of the beaches, which may or may not occur, should this thing be built, are you concerned about the visual impact, and that's why you want to push it further away? You don't want to be gazing out at 56 turbines.
Well, the visual impact is a very personal and it's kind of subjective view, because some people will like the look of a turbine, but it's not the visual impact of what they themselves look like, but their proximity to the shore and the magnitude of them. So we have we engaged with a mathematician to look at an equation to see what is the visual impact of, say, for example, the current 7 turbines that are sitting around 13 kilometres from shore and they're around 124 metres high. If you calculate the distance from shore with the height of the turbine and the viewpoint, so from British Bay Beach, you get a very wide view. The vista of the seascape is like 120 degrees. The ranking is around, we worked out 0.3 out of 10, let's say, as a rating. In the two options proposed by SSE Renewables, the visual would be up at 6 to 7 out of 10 because they're going to be so big and so close and such quantity. So when you say the visual, it's not a case of I like a turbine or not. It's the quantity of turbines, the size of turbines, and how close they will feel to the coast. And also the link towards the other wind farms
What springs to mind is Father Ted and Father Dougal, small Dougal, far away.
Yeah, these will not be, large. These will be very, 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 very close.
Now, I want to read a statement about this development. Shore Partners Limited, a subsidiary of SSE Renewables, has submitted an environmental impact assessment report with the planning application recently made to Onboard Planola for the Arklowbank Wind Park 2 project. The EIAR provides an accurate description of the project and a scientific fact-based assessment of potential environmental impacts of the development. The planning application and the EIAR is available for all members of the public to view at the offices of Onboard Plan All at Marlborough Street, the offices of Wicklow County Council, the offices of Wexford County Council at County Hall, Carricklawn, Wexford, and online at arclobank2offshoreplanning.ie. Now, do you not trust Onboard Plan All to do their job?
I do trust them. Yes, we have to trust them. Like that's their remit.
I mean, if they look at all of this,
they should do. But
do they just take the EIAR as a given and say we believe everything in this document, or do they ever challenge these things?
I would hope so, but I mean, I don't work on a Onboard Plan All, so I can't answer that. But what I do know is that for the ordinary person to access this EIAR, because this is a time of public consultation, it's very, very difficult, and so there's very limited access for the public to have an informed discussion on this topic.
Well, two county council offices, Onboard Plan All and online.
Well,
it seems open.
It seems open, and I would agree with that. But we have been distributing leaflets into local golf courses, into shops in Wicklow Town and various places, and nobody knows anything. The only thing that they do know is that SSC is a great company, which it is, and we all need renewable energy and we all need really, really fast. But nobody realises, and they won't know until it's fast-tracked, because there's vested interest to make this work.
Okay, your message is build it farther away and don't build it on the sandbank.
That's simple. It's very simple.
Okay, yeah. John Gibbons, environmental journalist, has been listening to our conversation. John, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So, what do you make of this? The residents are concerned, and it's not just about looking out at windmills at sea. Some people love them, some people hate them. But that's a personal choice. It's about marine life. It's about the erosion of the beaches along the eastern coastline.
Sure, we could start, and you actually alluded to it, Pat, in your opening comments there as well, that when you put in a wind farm, right, one of the things, it becomes a de facto protected, marine protected area, because the thing that destroys marine life more than anything else, far more than wind turbines, is trawling, particularly bottom trawling, which of course is the highly destructive form of trawling. So the big threat to the Wicklow Bank is a threat from trawling, because that's what disturbs the marine life. That's what digs up the crustaceans. That's what destroys the actual breeding grounds. Now, as you also said, Pat, when you install a wind farm, you basically create the equivalent of an artificial reef at sea. So let's say in this particular case, we're looking at between 47 and 56 turbines, right? First of all, they force the trawlers to stay outside of that area. That allows marine life to rejuvenate in the area. This is the great irony of it, that once you get over the disruption, and there is disruption and pile driving related to installing a wind farm, what we've seen around the world is that they become havens of marine life. They become a de facto marine sanctuary. So it is the great irony here. We're supposed, Pat, to have loads of marine protected areas around Ireland. Now, they're what they call, the ecologists call them paper parks, because there's nothing to stop the trawlers going out and destroying them. And that's exactly what they do.
Okay.
Now, the one place, Pat, that you do get protection, genuine marine protection, is inside a wind farm. So that's just for openers, yeah.
Okay, now let's move on to the threat to the beaches that everyone loves to recreate upon in the sunny southeast, Wicklow and Wexford.
Yeah, I mean, this is something I've written about extensively. Worldwide, our beaches are facing annihilation. And I mean, right around the world, right around the coast of Ireland, we have some of the longest beach coastline in the world. And we're expecting, Pat, on current trajectories with global warming, sea level rise and increased storminess, the loss of most of Irish beaches this century. So all those lovely beaches that we all enjoy to visit, we can expect most of those to disappear and be washed out to sea and permanently destroyed this century as a result of global warming.
Shouldn't we enjoy them for as long as we can?
Well, what we should do, Pat, is we need to address the reason that those beaches are being destroyed. And that reason, of course, is fossil fuel burning, 50 billion tons of CO2 being released into the atmosphere.
In fairness, Olivia has said, all in favour, SSE Electricity is a good company. We need renewable energy. She's not objecting to that. She's just saying a simple change, a technical change that would be challenging, admittedly, for SSE Electricity, moving it further out than the proposed Arklow Bank, that would be a satisfactory solution for the people who are challenging this at the moment.
Sure. I mean, first of all, This is a thing called a Maritime Area Consent, or the MAC. This was issued in December 2022 for this project, right? Now, the planning process, Pat, around these offshore wind farms is absolutely massive. A typical planning application, the first round runs to over 3,000 pages. Now, that goes down into minute detail in terms of all manner of things, from topology to other technical considerations. Now, you get you're given then this marine consent, which basically sets out the area in which you can operate. You then go through the planning process, which of course we're doing now, and I think we can all agree that Bord Pinola are an objective planning organization. And to address your question, Pat, do they object? Do they read these things? Are they prepared to reject information that is not satisfactory? The answer to that is absolutely yes. In fact,
you must be looking at a different Bord Pinola than I've been looking at for the last 2 decades.
Bord Pinola, Pat, is not without its problems. But for example, Bord Pinola, we've had rejection of solar farms, for goodness sakes, because people don't like the look of them. So I assure you, the planning system is maybe it's not working, but the ability to object is alive and well in Ireland. And in fact, the NIMBY factor is alive and well. And I wonder, by the way, has the East Coast Protection Alliance, the Southeast Coast Protection Alliance, has it lobbied, for example, for a ban on bottom trawling on the East Coast? Because obviously they're a group, and I totally take their credentials at face value, and Olivia sounds, you know, very sincere. But I just wonder, have they also been lobbying for a ban on bottom trawling in this area? Because that is the thing, because if you're concerned about marine life, that's the thing that will boost marine protection the most.
Good morning, John. No, we haven't lobbied for that, because our focus is on the development of the Arklow Bank Phase 2. And our evidence for that and our concern arose numerous years ago, when in 2016, a dumping at sea license was granted to remove sand that had built up along the eastern side of the seven turbines that sit there. That the 2001 or 2002 commissioned demonstrator project, as was called, of seven turbines, we have seen over a numerous years since it's in the last 20 years of its existence, we feel it has been the reason for coastal erosion at the south end of British Bay and further south, whereas there's not the same effect evident in the north side of the same beach. Right. And so our concern is with the proximity of this particular wind farm.
John obviously will advocate for wind farms because we desperately need them going forward. Olivia, you have now brought this to the attention of those shopkeepers and others that maybe have not heard of it. Hopefully they're listening to us and they now know all about it. But the process has begun.
The process is in hand. There's really only 2 weeks left until the 7th of August. And we're looking for people to sign our petition, which is to bring to the attention of the House of the Oireachtas and to An Bord Pinola that they need to fully investigate the environmental impact that a project of this magnitude can have on the Wicklow-Wexford coastline.
Olivia, thank you very much for joining us. Olivia Cofola, Southeast Coastal Protection Alliance, and John Gibbons, environmental journalist. Thank you both very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.